And we're excited to keep talking about Jesus, because that's the best thing to ever talk about. Amen? Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. I'm saying you should talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus in your home. Talk about Jesus at your work. Talk about Jesus. Specifically, Jesus. People can talk about God, and that's okay. But when you get to Jesus, I just was having a conversation with someone that they've been praying for quite a while, and they can talk about God with this person, but they keep trying to bring the conversation around to Jesus, and that's where things get a little hairy, gets a little dicey, because when you start talking about Jesus, that's very specific, right? And there's power in the name of Jesus. So we want to talk about Jesus. We don't want to just talk generically all the time about, we can talk about good things and God and whatever, but let's specifically talk about Jesus. We spent weeks talking about what's in a name, talking about this prophecy from Isaiah from 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 6. And I keep putting the whole thing up there. I was going to get rid of it, but I like reading that because it's so true, because there's so much darkness. And I like reading that first part every week that we're on this series. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Aren't you thankful for a great light? Aren't you thankful for the light of God in your life? On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And that's my prayer for you guys this year. That in 2025, the light will dawn in our hearts. That light of revelation, the light of His goodness will just illuminate our lives, and we won't be walking in any darkness. No darkness in 2025. Amen? Amen. Amen. For unto us a child of, this is verse 6, now unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful. I can't hear that word anymore without thinking of that Sunday, talking about blow your mind. He is wonderful. Counselor, because we're all wired to take advice. We're built that way. You're going to take advice from somewhere. Raise your hand if you've ever taken bad advice. Don't do that. We want to take advice from the counselor. We're talking about Jesus. This is all a prophecy about Jesus, not about a God. It's about Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And then last week, we got to Mighty God. We read verse after verse after verse how Jesus is God. Amen? Amen? Jesus is God. And we all throughout the scriptures, we see that. So today, we're talking about Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So Everlasting Father is today. I ran out of room and slides or whatever, but I was going to put a couple slides up from Charles Spurgeon. And he was saying, I've talked about, and this is a sermon, from the 1800s or whatever it was, talking about the first couple ones of those. I've told you about those, but when we get to Everlasting Father, my well is shallower. I forget if he said, I'll present to you my loaves and fishes and whatever. So he was kind of saying the same thing that when I would read all the commentaries on this verse, when we would get to Everlasting Father, everyone would go, it's a little tougher to explain this one. So I feel like we've got some good material for you today. And this is one of the names of Jesus. Okay, so it's a little tricky. So we need to remember this. Everlasting Father. Jesus is not the Father. Jesus is, we spent all last week telling you Jesus is God. Now we're starting with today saying Jesus is not the Father, and yet there's this prophecy about Him that He's going to be Everlasting Father. We'll kind of pick that apart and unpack that a little bit, and it's really cool stuff. But He is not the Father. I don't know if you guys seen diagrams like this before. They're not usually this colorful. I stole this from some website somewhere, so sorry, whoever made this. You did a great job. Thumbs up. Absolutely. And so this is one of the couple of diagrams that people have often used for decades and decades and decades, probably for longer than that, to kind of explain the unexplainable Trinity. You guys familiar with the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? So, and a lot of times there'll be I've used that one here before, the connector ones. Jesus, and they'll be around the sides. So Jesus is not the Father, or usually the Father's on top. Jesus is not the Father, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Son or Jesus or whatever, but in the center is kind of God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father is God. They're all three God. So just a little diagram to kind of help you mentally. But when this prophecy in Isaiah was foretold, it was not about Jesus was going to be the Father. We gave that verse last time in John where he said, I and the Father are one. They are one. And he's talking about the Trinity. We are God. We are one God. There's one God. There's only one God. But there's three personhoods in that God. I don't know how that works. You'll have to take it up with God. If you're confused, ask him. So he is God. So we very clearly, Jesus is God. But he's not the Father. And yet there's this prophecy that says he's everlasting Father. We will get to a Charles Spurgeon quote right now. He says, the fact is all important that the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father. Our text has no bearing upon the position and titles of the three persons with regard to each other. It does not indicate, I loved how he said this line, it does not indicate the relation of deity to itself, but the relation of Jesus Christ to us. He is to us the everlasting Father. See, that one of the things that Jesus was doing is he was making the Father known. That was one of our verses that we used last time. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that's why a verse 700 years earlier can say he's going to be everlasting Father. Not that his position in the Trinity was going to change. He's not the Father. Are you kind of with me? Are you kind of understanding what I'm saying? No, not at all? Okay, I'll try harder. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is not the Father, but he is God. But he is to us this representation. He's a tangible, touchable, not right now because he's, you know, dead and resurrected. He's in heaven. But in that moment, he became the fulfillment of this prophecy, and now he lives on to be to us the everlasting Father. He is to us the everlasting Father. Ray Pritchard says this. In the Hebrew, the phrase is literally the Father of eternity. This speaks of the purpose of his coming. He is before, above, and beyond time. He is the possessor of eternity. He is eternally like a father to his people. This is not a statement about the Trinity, but about the character of our Lord. All that a good father is, Jesus is to his people. So that's what this prophecy is about. He's revealing God the Father to us, but Jesus himself is like a father to us. The character traits, the fatherliness of Jesus is representative to us like a father. So that's how he treats us, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But let's talk about the everlasting or the eternal part of it. Jesus is eternal. That's one of the things that people get confused. That's why we talked last time, Jesus is God. He is eternal. He didn't get created 2,000 years ago. His body did, but he didn't. Jesus did not. Jesus was eternal, is eternal. Yeah, he wasn't was, he is. God said his name is I Am. Like, there's no beginning to him. There's no ending to him. You ever get weirded out by eternity? I don't have a problem with, I've thought of this since I was a little kid. I don't have a problem with on and on and on and on and on and on. Because it's just one more. It's just, you know, I mean, there's no time really, but just if there was days, it's just one more day. Well, we've done that our whole life. One more day. It just keeps on being on. It's eternity past that I can't comprehend. It's trying to wrap your head around no beginning. Well, further back you go, there's still eternity behind that. Can't you, that breaks a brain in a hurry. If you guys want to break your brain, try thinking about eternity past, like the beginning of the beginning. There is none, because it's eternal, like forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in reverse. I can think about forever and ever and ever forward, but forever and ever in reverse, that's wonderful. Blows my mind. So let's talk about everlasting. Charles Spurgeon says, I may say that not only is eternity ascribed to Christ, but he is here declared to be the parent of it. Imagination cannot grasp this. for eternity is a thing beyond us. He's telling you the same thing that I'm telling, and he's a lot smarter than I am. Yet, if eternity should seem to be a thing which can have no parent, be it remembered that Jesus is so surely and essentially eternal, that he is here pictured as the source and the father of eternity. Say, and I love this because, well, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but like eternity didn't plop out Jesus. Jesus is God. He's the God of eternity. He's the, Charles Spurgeon is saying, he's the father of eternity. Everything that is, Jesus is the creator of. He goes on to say, Jesus is not the child of eternity, but the father of it. Eternity did not bring him forth from its mighty bowels, but he brought forth eternity. Love all these words. Independent, self-sustained, uncreated, eternal existence is with Jesus, our Lord and God. Let's look at this verse from John. We looked at it last week, but we're going to read it again. John 10, 25 through 28. Jesus is talking with the Pharisees and the people there. He said, Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Who gives them eternal life? Who's talking here? Jesus. Yep. Everyone thought they were in for a trick question. This is not a trick question. Now you can say it with confidence. Who's talking here? Jesus is talking here. Jesus is saying, I give them eternal life. Jesus is saying he's giving them eternal life. Are you with me? Are we on the same page? Who's giving them eternal life? Jesus is. Who's talking right here? Does he lie? No. He's telling the truth. Jesus is saying, I am going to give them, my sheep, the people who come to me, I'm going to give them eternal life. You cannot give what you do not possess. Brian, if I told you I'm going to give you $1 million, you better not take me to court to hold that true, because we're going to be waiting a long time. Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not. Marnie pulled out a pack of colored construction paper the other day from her book that she was reading and started giggling. And I was on my couch, she was on her couch. I'm like, what do you got there? She said, Taylor, are these still valid? When our kids are little, they give us coupons for birthday presents because they don't have a lot of money to go buy stuff for us. Aspen, I've got a stack of back rubs and washed cars. That was the big thing with Aspen. We'll wash your vehicle. They were always out washing our vehicle. I don't know if you've ever had kids that have washed your vehicle before. I didn't cash those in. Or she would give me, this is kind of funny, because this is, they'll get a kick out of this. Because we have a great relationship. We've always had a great relationship. And she would give me, for my present, coupons to take her out on a date. Like, yeah. But Taylor would give all these things, I don't know, taking out the garbage and whatever, stuff he had to do anyways. Here's my birthday present, or Christmas present to you, Mom. I'll take out the garbage. Yeah, I was going to do that anyways, but... And so, but they would kind of have to give what they had, right? You have to give what you have or what you have access to. Maybe what you have access to, what you have means to. Jesus can't promise to give us eternal life if he's not the Lord of eternity. He has eternal life in him. It's the quality and quantity of the kind of life that's in him. The quality and quantity of life that he wants to give you. It's not just quantity. It's not just a long time. Because that's great. Because if you're in a really bad place and someone's like, this can be eternal. Like, no thanks. Do you know what I mean? Like, hitting my hand with a thumb with a hammer. Hey, this can go on for eternity. No, I don't want that. But it's eternal life. It's the quality of it as well. It's rich with eternal goodness. So just think about that. Think about that when you're thinking about Jesus. I can't remember what slides I put in here, so some of this might be coming up in a slide or two. But when God is going to give you his love, he loves you. Not with a human kind of love, and not just with a perfect God kind of love, an eternal love, and a love that has always existed and always going to exist. Now, we talked this morning earlier about kind of feeling distant, you know, from our relationships or whatever, from God or from our spouse or kids or whatever. God is always close, and he's eternally close. God is always compassionate, but he's eternally compassionate because he has that to give. We don't have to wonder 1,000 years from now, is God still going to be compassionate towards me? Are you with me? Whatever God is giving you and blessing you with, the nature of it is eternal. And he didn't wake up one day and go, you know, guys, rest of the Godhead, I'm going to start being good today. I feel like today is a great day to be compassionate. You know what? Today is a great day to be merciful. Why? This is the, not just forward, remember backwards. So if he's merciful today, he was eternally merciful from just on and on and on and on and on and on. He's always not been merciful. He's always been merciful. He's always not been merciful. That's what I've missed a knot. He's always not been good. He's been good from I can't say from the very beginning, because he didn't have a beginning. He's always been. What he is, he's always been. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's the eternal Father. He's whatever good thing that means to us, it means it for eternity. And he didn't wake up one day and decide to be it. He always was it. And that gets revealed to us. And so some of you, and this is not I'm trying to be as sensitive as I can with this, but some of us that maybe have, you know, abandonment in our life, that maybe have woundings, that maybe have disappointments, people that have not come through for us, things that we're carrying that shape in a negative way, shape our spirit and shape our character, this is good news. His good stuff, it's eternal. He's going to never not be there. Is that right? He's always going to be there. Trying to be, you know, when you're a speaker, you're always being creative, and I'm not doing very well with my knots today. You know what I'm trying to say, though? He's not going to change his mind. The qualities of goodness in him are eternal. The life he's giving you, it's eternal, and it starts now. All right, I'm filled with that life, and the quality and the quantity of it is eternal. Forever back, forever forward. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to work for it. It's eternal, and he's given it to me. I think we're getting it. You're processing. I can see the wheels turning. That's good. Let's read some slides. Let's listen to smart people. Because he is everlasting and eternal, his attributes are everlasting. His love for you never wanes. His forgiveness loses not its power. His tender eye upon you is not distracted nor veering. His heart and compassion towards you is as potent a millennium from today as it was before he created you. Come on. He's eternal. He's the eternal Father. As a father cares for you, he cares not just on a good day, eternally. Not just when it's your birthday, eternally. With that quality of it, that's unshakable. It's unbreakable. He's also Father, not in the Trinity Father, not positionally Father, but characterally, he's Father to us. Sam Storm said, the word Father is a descriptive analogy pointing to Christ's character. What does a father do? What image is evoked by the word? I suggest that he has in mind the tenderness and sensitivity of a compassionate and affectionate father. It is the security and love that he provides, as well as protection and provision. Jesus, therefore, is fatherly and father-like in his treatment of us. And I think sometimes it's just easy to see Jesus as a man. Sometimes it's easy to see him as just, you know, the friend that sticks closer than brother. Sometimes it's a, well, it's he's not big G God, but he's well, he but he is. But you know, we like to see him like that. But he's fatherly to us. I have to admit, I've spent a lot more time with this text as I've been preparing this sermon, but it took me a while to kind of get into that groove of seeing Jesus with that fatherly compassion, that fatherly love, that fatherly treatment of us, because I've never thought of him necessarily in that way before, but the prophecy is true. So I like that. Jesus is therefore a fatherly and father-like in his treatment of us. John 15:9 says, as the Father has loved me, Jesus is talking here, so have I loved you. How has he loved us? As the Father, say Father. How is he loving us? He's loving us like a brother. He's loving us like a buddy. Well, that may all be true, but in this context here, he's telling us how, the character of how he's loving us. He's giving us a reflection of that. He's becoming to us the love of the Father. Now, we do have access to the Father, absolutely. But in John 15:9, he's saying, as the Father's loved me, I want to present that fatherly love to you. I want to love you in that way. With what kind of a love? Good for Tuesday and maybe not Wednesday? No, eternal. Eternal fatherly love. A love that is rich and it is unshakable and unbreakable because it's eternal. Something that's eternal isn't just for a long time. It's for a long time because it's unbreakable. It doesn't run out of juice. How long do the batteries last in your kids' new toys? Not eternally. Except for like the drum sets and the really loud keyboard ones. Those last forever. But it's not just eternal because it goes on for a long time. It's eternal because it doesn't quit. It doesn't break. It doesn't run out of juice. It doesn't run out of effectiveness. It's eternal in its quality as well as in its quantity. Let's look at what a father kind of contributes. What does a father do? How can Jesus, how is he, this is just a few things that I came up with, but how is he reflecting and presenting this? How is he fulfilling this prophecy from 700 years before Christ? How is he being a father to us? What does a father give us? Well, you get your characteristics from your father. When I was in high school, my friends were in awe of Stan. And they thought that because he was this gentle giant, you know, and Stan never gets mad, but he's got bear paws on him. And so, you know, when you're a teenager, when you're a teenage boy filled with testosterone and you want to be, you know, tough and whatever, well, they just always were impressed with Stan. Like, man, all my, you know, because you're always like, I wonder if I could beat him up. You know, that's just what guys do. And so, so all my friends were like, I wouldn't want to get grabbed by Stan. So they would all just, you know, you're just, it's the 80s. We didn't have the internet. That's all we did was talk. they would just say, can you imagine if Stan would grab you by the neck or something? I'm like, but you guys know him. He would never do that. Yeah, but what if he did? He could just snap you in half. And he had these big Popeye forearms, you know, and these big meaty hands. You know, I wish I would have got a little more of that. But, you know, my hands have always been pretty big. I've never been beaten in the game of mercy in my life in 54 years. Got strong hands from my dad, I guess. You get characteristics from your dad. Oh, you got your father's eyes. Oh, you got your dad's laugh, right? It's this character traits that are passed on from, you get them from your mom as well, but we do get these characteristics from our dad. Funny. Thoughts popping through my head. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22, we're gonna talk about kind of the character traits that we're getting from the Father. And so in 1 Corinthians 15:21-22, it says this. So you see, just as death came into the world, how did it come into the world? Through a man. Now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. It's the character traits are coming, not just consequences. Here's what I want you to get. It's not just the consequences of Adam's sin was death, the consequences of Jesus' sacrifice is life. But it's not just consequences, it's deeper than that. Say deeper. It's deeper and richer than that. Hang with me. Just as everyone dies, because we all belong to Adam, those character traits are the characteristics that death, that sin is passed down to us. Yes, we do sin, but there's this original sin that's passed down to us from Adam's bloodline. You following me? Has anyone ever done dumb stuff? Anyone ever sinned? We all have sinned. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned, but we have a nature within us that doesn't just like to sin. It's destined to sin. It's broken. It's filled with sin from Adam. We inherited that. Not only do we sin, but we also inherited sin. We've got it in us. Sometimes you're a turkey because of your DNA, right? That we inherited that from our earthly father, from Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 and through 49 says, the scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Jesus, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Here's where we go. We're looking at not just effects, but also character traits that are inherited. Earthly people are like or inherit the characteristics of the earthly man. Heavenly people are like or inherit the characteristics of the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, like Adam, someday we will be like the heavenly man, Jesus. You don't have to get excited. I'm going to get excited because I'm tired of being like the earthly man. I inherited those character traits from my earthly father, Adam. But I also inherited the spiritual traits from my spiritual father, Jesus. Okay. Even if you don't understand, say amen. I get it. It's a little deep because sometimes we just think of consequences. But I'm thinking of like spiritual DNA. We got the spiritual DNA of death passed to us through Adam. We get the spiritual DNA of life. Say life. No, say it like you mean it. Life. Passed to us through our spiritual father, Jesus. Amen. How many want some of that? Yeah, come on. God, make us like you. John 8, 42 through 44 says, this is a big conflict with the Pharisees. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I've come down from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. Now hold up. Hold on a second. Hold up. Did Satan actually come and impregnate women and then they were born and raised up and became Pharisees? The answer is no. So Jesus was being, in a sense, metaphorical, but in a sense, giving them a spiritual truth because they were manifesting that DNA that is not coming from God. That's the point that we're not trying to just be aggressive here, but this whole thing he's talking about, wow, you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar. Oh, and the devil is what? He's the father of lies. We're talking about now Jesus. Jesus is the father, not of lies, but of truth. He's the father of truth in us. Ooh, that's good. He's our spiritual father. Not the Father in the Trinity, not that, but he's the purveyor. He puts that spiritual DNA in us. Just like I got Stan's broad shoulders and a little bit of his bare hands, I get Jesus' life and truth passed to me in my spiritual DNA. Amen? I think you're getting it. He also gives us our identity. I am Stan's son. We remember Joseph Jacobson, the coat of many colors. That's not his real last name in the Bible, but if he was Norwegian, Scandinavian, he would be Joseph Jacobson because he was the son of Jacob, right? But I get my identity from my Amasnaza. Came from my dad. That's where I get my identity. I do things like he does, some of them. I wish I would have some of his patience. Don't have as much of that. But I get some other things from my dad. But I get my identity, who I am, it comes from my dad. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a what? That's identity. You're not old, you're new. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're new. You're new. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. It's through Jesus. You get a new identity through Jesus. I get my identity from my dad. Now I'm getting my spiritual identity from my new fatherly influence. Not only am I getting my identity, I'm getting my spiritual DNA from Jesus, and then he also tells me who I am. He speaks it over and over in his word, who you are. You guys, this is just a little side note. Remember in 2025, that's the year we dig into our Bibles. That's the year that we're going to get into the word of God. And you will read in there phrase and paragraph after paragraph of who you are. Don't believe the lies that the devil's trying to put in your soul. Believe the truth of God's word. You're a new creature. Yeah, there was old. Absolutely. Paul said, that's what some of you were, but not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. I'm going to keep saying it until you wake up. Not anymore. Come on. What else do we get? Ooh, we love this word. Hey, I would challenge you to love this word. Love this word. This is good. It proves we're loved. Yeah? Proverbs 3, 11, and 12 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Jesus disciplines us as a father, because he loves us. Yeah. He doesn't want to see our lives go the wrong way. He wants to see us thrive and filled with eternal life, living out eternal life, living in our new identity. Sometimes we get stuck living in our old identity. And he disciplines us to get us out of that, because he knows that's not the best thing for us. He wants the best for us. And living in the old way is not the best for us. Brings death and destruction. What else? Safety, security, and strength. I just have a story that goes with this one I'm going to read. But there is nothing more secure than a dad, right? When you're a kid and you come running to, you don't even have to be a kid. Through my years, there's just something about my dad showing up that I know things are going to be okay now. Maybe some of you haven't had that experience. Maybe some of you don't have your dads anymore. Maybe you didn't have a dad that was in your life, but I was blessed to have a dad that's still in my life, and when dad shows up, it's going to be okay. We bought some cabinets the other day, and they were coming on a semi, and my dad's retired now, and we were supposed to schedule a delivery, and I went online, and it says they're out for delivery, and so I called them, and they were hard to get a hold of, and they said, yeah, they're out. They should be there at between 11:45 and 12:15. It was 11:44. I said, so I've got 1 minute to get home and contact a semi. She said, well, yeah, we're sorry about that. Well, that's not helping me now. So what did I do? Call my dad. Well, first I talked to Alan. But then I called my dad. I said, hey, Dad, how fast can you be in Sisseton? Well, I guess I can be there. And I knew if my dad showed up, things would be all right. And there's a safety, there's a strength that comes from our dads. And so, the security. So I'm reading a book, actually read a book. Have you ever heard of the Dream Center in Los Angeles? So it's this church. It's Matthew Barnett, who is Tommy Barnett's son. And so he's the third generation of kind of church planters. And he went to L.A. back in the 90s and just was going to start a church out there. And anyways, they ended up buying an entire hospital, and read the story of how that went, and just phenomenal. thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of drug addicts, prostitutes, child sex trafficking escapees, runaways, homeless people have come through there, either live there or have come through the church. It's an entire hospital that's dedicated to ministry, and it's phenomenal. Up to 30,000 meals a week they serve outside of the hospital part. They do stuff inside, but all those people get involved. He used to walk up to the liquor stores, and he'd walk around and he'd say, the guys would be drunk, he'd say, "You're going to be my new deacon. You're going to be my evangelist," or whatever. And these guys, they'd never heard something like that. When you check into the Dream Center, okay, so there's a temporary shelter for, you know, if you got booted out of your house, or, you know, you're getting abused and you ran away or whatever. When you check in, you fill out paperwork to get in. The very first thing that they ask you, besides your name, you fill out your name, and the very next thing they ask you, what is your dream? A dream. My dream is to not get beat up and have to sleep in my car tonight. That's my dream. They're like, no, what is your dream? Because they know that if you're in survival mode, you have no hope. And without hope, you're never going to break out of the circumstances that you're in. What's your dream? What is your dream? And they said that they take a survey of how safe do you feel. Less than 2% of people feel safe when they enter in. And then they give an exit form for them to fill out. 100% of them felt safe when they left. There's a safety. Jesus brings this safety and security. So anyways, it's the Dream Center, and they help them, and they've seen the whole thick book is filled with stories of ex-prostitutes and drug addicts and people that were homeless for 14 years, and now almost everyone on staff is a former, they lived under a bridge, or they were a prostitute or whatever. Everyone on staff has got a story like that, and they're like, We're part of the Dream Center. They're actually helping right now with the LA fires. So I just watched a news thing, and I had no idea that that was going to be connected. But this is a story from that book. And so when Matthew was little, he had a lazy eye, and he would get picked on at school. And so this is his story, talking about the safety and security and strength of his father. He said, "As a kid, I had one cross eye. Every day at school, I heard about it from the kids. They laughed and at me and mocked me, and I hated second grade. To this day, I can remember how every Sunday around 6 p.m. I would encounter a wave of depression because school was a few hours away. The kids were relentless. Back then, there was no awareness of bullying, and there was no relief for me. Kids also became very creative in their description of my lazy eye. When my father would drop me off at school, he could see the pain in my eyes. He always gave me a 2-minute pep talk before he let me out the door, reminding me of how special I was. He told me of the night in Iowa when I was born, when a saintly old man came into the hospital and said, 'This boy has a unique calling on his life to do something that's never been done before.' My dad would tell me about that prophecy and send me off every day with a fresh dose of love. He would not let me leave that car until I felt 10 feet tall. The best way to describe it is that my father was giving me the spiritual antibiotics to be able to handle the assault that was about to hit me. His words sustained me and healed me as he continued to speak life into my mess, into my frailties, and into my sadness." Something about when a dad says, "You got this. You can do this." I can talk about Taylor because he's not here. And Aspen and I, we try hard. I try hard. Mom tries hard to not use you guys as analogies all the time. But as you know, we fail. So we talk all the time about this. And I don't know if you've ever been a parent or not, but it's pretty common at least 2 or 3 times a day for your kids to come and tell you how grateful they are for you and all that you do. Actually, it's really not. That's a lie. Actually, our kids are pretty phenomenal. But my son loves to lift weights. We've got a gym at home. We don't really lift together, but he's hit some milestones this year. He just right before wrestling, so a month ago, whatever it was, he deadlifted 455 pounds, and he said, "Dad, it was good to pull that much weight again," and that was his PR. And so a couple days later, he squatted 455, and a little bit earlier, right before football this year, we had this contest to see who could I mean, it was a tongue-in-cheek for me. I didn't think either one of us would ever get there because I knew I couldn't. Who was the first one to bench 315 pounds? And so he benched 315 pounds, and I think multiple times. And so about 3 days ago, 4 days ago, he's walking by. He said, "Dad, I just want to, I don't really know what I'm trying to say." Were you there when he was saying that? Wasn't real good at the words, but he said, "Do you remember when we were in the car and we were in front of the dollar store?" "No." "Well, no, it was actually Aldi." So that was it. I'm like, "No, I really don't." He said, and after he said it, then I remembered the conversation. But he said, he was, because he's like, "Okay, I think I need to, you know, do more sets of this." And we talk through this stuff all the time. And I could tell he was just, I remember the conversation. So way back, it was way back when. And he was just kind of getting caught up in all the details. And I said, "Taylor, sometimes you just need to get under a bar, put a lot of weight on it, and just move it." Because we're both science guys. We like to know, well, this exercise has got 14% more muscle recruitment of the long. You know, we talk about that stuff all the time. But I could tell he was getting too bogged down in that. He said, "You just got to move some weight." And so he came the other day, like 4 or 5 days ago. He said, "You remember that? He told me I just need to." He's like, "I guess what I'm trying to say is thanks for that." But it was a challenge from his dad. Got his mind in the right place and whatever. I'm just saying that Jesus is speaking those words as a father over you. Amen? You ever just needed a, right? You just needed a man of strength. Jesus is that man of strength. "You got this. I know you're scared. Don't fear." Okay, right? You need that fatherly figure, and Jesus is that fatherly figure to say, "I'm with you. We're going to walk through this together. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. We'll do this." And you just go, "Oh, we need to be done," but just, I'll throw the last one up there just so you can see it. But wisdom, and I didn't know how to phrase it, but our place in society. In the ancient days, the old days, there was a city gate. Cities had walls around them. All the elders, all the dads hung out, not at the coffee shop, not K&K. They hung out at the city gate. That's where the courts were. It was at the entrance. And they would sit around the entrance to the gate. And if you had problems with your kids or you needed justice, you'd bring them to the city gate. And I just think about Solomon and talking to his son and kind of telling him how to engage with the world. How do you do business with integrity? How do you handle people that are turkeys, right? How do you not be tempted by your friends that want to go and get you in trouble? How do you integrate with society and keep God the first thing in your life? That's what giving you wisdom, right? And meeting at the city gate and listening to the elders and the wisdom. That's what a dad does, gives you this wisdom. And Jesus launches his ministry. Just like Solomon had all these proverbs to his son, Jesus launches his ministry with the Sermon on the Mount and gives us this wisdom. Hey, you want to be first? But really, if you want to succeed, you need to be last. He gives us this vision of the upside-down kingdom. I want you to, if someone wants to slap you, turn your other cheek. You want to go a mile, go 2 miles with them. I'm empowering you to walk through this adversity and not be a victim. I'm empowering you to go out and do business with ethics. I'm empowering you to walk in character and how to have wisdom. That's Jesus, is that fatherly role of wisdom. And how do we do life? It's Jesus. It's not just I'm going to get to heaven, Jesus. It's how do I do life, Jesus. Amen? It's not just where am I going to be at for eternity, Jesus. It's where am I going to be at on Tuesday, Jesus. He's with us now as that fatherly wisdom, giving us insight and teaching us how to encounter our world. He's the everlasting Father. And he's really good. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for a snowy and stormy but great day. I thank you for bringing people here safely. We pray that they would get home safely. And we pray that we would see Jesus as that strength and security. We get our identity, our character traits, and our wisdom, God, that you are pouring into us. Pray that you would be that everlasting Father to us. And we just pray for strength and mercy as we go on our way today. And ask for blessings on this week in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.